hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani with Jerry Usher, and as we've been saying for almost 6 years, and you're the key person. You are the one who takes these great conversations and make them even better than that. And it's Friday, the Friday before Mother's Day, that's right, and we are going to be talking about parenting. That kind of leads right into Mother's Day, and we just, Jerry and I and the whole show team and EWTN want to wish all the moms and grandmothers there a happy early Mother's Day. We hope you have a fun and relaxing weekend, and of course, it's the month of Mary and our spiritual mother, Jerry, the Blessed Mother. So many ways to honor mothers this weekend, and it's just going to be amazing, but I'm looking forward to this show. I think it's going to be a little bit, it's going to be informative, but I think it's going to have some humor mixed in. I just feel it.
It could, yeah. We have a question for you today that you can answer by calling 833-288-3986, and that is, what do you wish you'd known before having kids, okay? If you're a parent, a mom, or a dad, you can call in. Grandparent, what do you wish you'd known before having kids? 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Let's face it, okay, that baby's born in the hospital and everybody celebrates, congratulations, you know, the balloons, the flowers, and then they bundle up that little precious baby and they hand them to you, and you got to have the car seat ready to go, properly secured in the car, because you can't take the baby home without the car seat, and you're holding that baby, and you know, they don't really hand you a manual with the baby. It's a, you know, anything else that you get when you order from Amazon, you order from anywhere, you get some kind of instruction manual, right? Well, not with a baby. Although you can read a lot of pregnancy books and what to expect, you know, when expecting and all those kinds of books, those parenting books ahead of time. That's true. But it never seems to go like that, right? You get this baby home and then all of a sudden things start to happen and unfold and you learn things and you go, wow, I wish I had known that before I had children. And it's just fascinating. And it's kind of interesting. It's a real growth process, you mature very quickly when you become a parent, right? So there's so many things that we can talk about, but we're just titling it, I wish I had known that before having children. So call in and share what you have learned, because it helps others that are preparing and that are definitely open to life and wanting to have a family, you know, what to really expect, the good, and sometimes the kind of shocking things, not bad, but just shocking. Like I'll share something that just, it really was the truth for me anyway, but I'll wait.
Okay. Well, I've never been a child, but I never had children, but I've been one. So, and I know my mother probably wished she knew a lot of things before taking me home from the hospital. But anyway, Debbie is really the expert among the two of us here today. I'll just be along to give the phone number out and provide some, you know, moral support. But we need your participation. There you go. The phones are starting to ring right now. And we just definitely recommend, if you think you have something to weigh in on today's topic, call. Be sure you're in the first group of callers, because the lines fill up pretty quickly at 833-288-3986. So what was it, Debbie?
Okay, I'll share. This is what I wish I had known. My mother sort of, she tried to tell this, you know, she tried to share this with me, but I don't think she wanted to, you know, make me really nervous, although, you know, it just happened that way. I didn't realize, prior to having children, I did not worry that much. And then after having my first child, I worried all the time, 24 hours a day. I used to go to sleep worrying, waking up worrying. I was like, is he breathing? You know, is he okay? Is he hungry? Does he need his diaper changed? I was worried all the time. And then I still worry, and he's 31 years old. Okay. I mean, I didn't realize it was going to trigger all this, you know, this heightened sense of worry and anxiety and some fears, you know, that play into it. My mother tried to warn me. This is what she used to say. I was so much fun before I had you six kids. And she used to say that all the time. And now it makes complete sense. She was a worrier with all of us, very much so. And it's very interesting what happens after you have a child. It changes you very quickly. Plus you're sleep deprived, which doesn't help, because that kind of, you know, plays into it where you can't quite, you know, stay balanced a little bit. And then also the postpartum thing, you know, I had a little bit of that with my first child of postpartum depression, and I didn't even realize what it was until my mother-in-law, God bless her, she was so beautiful. What a beautiful lady she was. She came over and she says, "Hun, I think you might be a little down." And I said, "Really, Mom? You think I'm down?" She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "I had the same thing after having my kids." And so that was really nice, gentle way that she kind of told me that I was maybe sinking into just a bit of a depression. So I didn't know all these things. I mean, you read about them in these books, Jerry, but you don't really, you know, you kind of gloss over it. It's kind of like an instruction manual. You know how you kind of gloss over the instructions, and then by the time you're putting together the thing that you bought, you're thinking, I missed a step there. Right?
Well, yeah, our call screener, Rich, just said, "It's a totally different world. You never sleep the same again. Ha-ha." And he puts the ha-ha in there, but I'm sure there are nights you just probably want to say, "Oh, Lord, please just let me get a good couple hours of sleep or something." But
oh, definitely.
Is that the case? Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sleep becomes, I mean, you just think, you dream about sleep. it's just, you know, you just want to get into that deep sleep, which you don't really have after you become a parent. You tend to be a very light sleeper because you always are listening to see if the baby's going to cry or something like that. But yeah, I wish I had known that. I mean, I would have still had children, been open to life. Absolutely. But I just wish I would have been prepared for it, I think. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you know about that? Because you have brothers that have many kids. So
I think I've got, let's see, 8 and 9 and 10 and 11, like 11 or 12 nephews and nieces. And yeah, I it's beautiful to see the ways their lives have changed in many ways for the better, you know. We're talking today about, you know, what do you wish you had known before having kids? Let's see, what is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jack Williams is sending you a little statement there about your mom.
Your mom. He says, "Jerry's mom never had a worry because she knew at his birth how good looking he'd be bald."
That's hilarious.
So,
but your mom, Dorothy, she seemed like, well, she was a bit of a worrier too, right?
She was quite a worrier, yeah.
Yeah.
Even later as we became adults, so. All right, moms, dads, you're all welcome to call today in anticipation of Mother's Day. What do you wish you'd known before having kids? How did having kids change your life? 833-288-3986. We're going to your calls, starting with Stacy in just a minute. Thanks so much for spending part of your Friday with Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks to the show team, Michael Birchfield, Jeff Burson, Rich Jesse. Thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program. And listen up, EWTN Publishing has a great new book that I think you're going to want to pay attention to and maybe get a copy of. It's with Fathers Ken Briganti and John Frigilio. You probably know them from EWTN's Web of Faith TV and radio program. And the book is titled A Curious Catholic's Answers to Theological Questions. And they go into things like how to go to confession, how not to, what the church teaches about cremation versus burial, how canon law applies to lay people, how to avoid the dangers of the internet, things like that. So if you want to get information and order a copy of this book, you can do so at EWTNRC.com. Again, it's Web of Faith, A Curious Catholic's Answers to Theological Questions. We encourage you to buy Catholic and shop EWTNRC.com.
Okay, and we want the phone lines all lit up at Take Two so we can have a really robust discussion. So you can get right in and speak to Rich Jesse, and he'll chat with you for a few minutes. You can listen live and slip right into the discussion so perfectly. We're talking about what you wish you had known before having children. We want to hear all the things that you said, "Wow, I didn't realize that, but then having kids, that's really what happened, or that's what it did to me, or that's how it changed me." Okay, we want to hear about this. So don't get started with your weekend or your Mother's Day celebrations yet. We need your help. Come on, you guys. This is Take Two. 833-288-3986. 3986. That's the number to call to get on the show. It's super fun. You'll love it. It's a great experience. And you do not have to be Catholic to call in. We totally consider our non-Catholic listeners part of the Take-Two family. So 833-288-3986. We're talking about our kids today. And if you don't want to out your family and your kids, just, you know, give us your confirmation name or something of that nature. You don't have to, you know, say it's, you know, little Johnny or little Susie. You know, you don't have to do that. Okay. I just want to protect the kids in case they're
just trying. Wanted to add, yeah, indeed. Well, I wanted to add the outside of North America phone number as well. Country code 1, I believe. Is that right? Country code
That's
1.
Right. That is right.
And then area code 205-271-2985. So we're going to go to the phones now. And Stacy called in first and has been patiently waiting in South Carolina listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Stacy. Welcome.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Patience,
that's the first one. I need to learn from your kids. But I have 12 kids, and they're, I've called before, and they're 22 years apart. So I was 47 when I had the 12th child, who's now 10. So I'm 43, I guess. So if I could write a book, which everybody always says, you should write a book, and I'm like, well, look at my life. That's my book. But one of the titles of the book could be Pray and Reframe, Pray and Reframe, Pray and Reframe. So I'm only going to expound on the last one. So laugh, pray, and reframe. Have perspective, pray, and reframe. And then the last one is have fortitude, and that's the one that I've been praying for, I don't know, it could be at least 15 years ago I realized the fortitude I'd need, pray and reframe. So as you can tell, we have 12 kids, my husband and me, about every 2 years apart, and I've had 3 miscarriages, which that could be included in the story as part of what I'm going to say. I had them after I was 45, and I was an NFP teacher, so I understand how all of that works, and I knew the pain that having, at my age, another miscarriage could cause. But choosing to live in hope is really important for me. But part of the openness to life that people, that I realized over all these years was that Fulton Sheen's third ring, The Suffering, is part of openness to life. And that's what the gift of the Holy Spirit, fortitude, really having to be open to that, receiving the gift, as receptive to that gift as you were to parenthood. Because I know my tendency when I'm suffering, and it's like, you know what? Here's the devil talking. And self-pity. If you hadn't had all these kids, do you realize you could have been taking your 8th cruise and you could have been doing this and you could, all those little voices. And then through prayer and going back to my true mission, what God is, my husband and I have discerned, openness to life doesn't end the minute you leave the hospital. It never ends. So
beautiful.
That's the reframing through prayer.
Well, Stacy, thank you for calling. Praise God. Thank you and your husband for bringing 12 beautiful kids into the world. And we're sorry about the miscarriages that you've had. As you were talking about fortitude, I just decided to look that up online because I know what it means. It means strength generally. But actually, a couple of the definitions talk about pain or adversity. It says courage in pain or adversity. And I've always thought, you know, like I said, I've never been married or had kids, but I thought once you bring the first child into the world or multiple children into the world, that's the beginning of suffering, you know, not because it's a bad thing to have kids, but because things are going to happen. Kids are going to suffer, challenges, adversities are going to come. People will maybe lose a child somewhere along the line, illnesses, things like that. And it does take that fortitude. And you talked about reframing. We're really big on that here on this program.
Yes.
Army Debbie, we talk about that all the time.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. When you said that, pray, reframe. You know, it's interesting, Stacy. With anything that is really in alignment with God, okay, that is really, you know, on that wonderful path. There comes the distractions, the thoughts, all the things that the dark side wants to do to kind of just move us slightly off that path. And to stay on the path that you and your husband chose to do with your 15, 12 that are with us and three that are already have moved on for their eternal rewards, God willing. And that's 15. That's amazing. And for you to stay the course, you and your husband, I think it is so beautiful. Many of us wish we had more children. It just wasn't, you know, medically possible for some of us. And I'll tell you, it's interesting. With all that you've experienced, Stacy, what would you say to others? And I know you gave like the recipe right here, but what would you say to young married couples starting out? What would you say to them? Because they're hearing Stacy had, you know, 15 pregnancies, 12 children are with us. Okay. And so what would you say to them?
That sounds like a terrifying story right there. 12, you know, it's like, when I would teach NFPs, they'd be like, oh, my gosh, we don't want to learn from her. but, yeah, you know, it's like, But trust God. He really has a plan. And when you're in those dark moments, trust more. He's talking to you. After I'd had my seventh child, who's now 21, I remember this is a really important moment. So failure's okay, but turning back to God heals that, teaches you, and through suffering, he learned obedience. It's coming. But when I had that seventh child, he's like 5 months old, and I'm literally looking into the sunset in this disaster of a house going, oh, I just want to ride off into this sunset. What am I doing? This is horrible. And God just spoke into my heart, unless something in you changes, when you come back, it'll all be here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would, I've drawn strength, and he's, like I said, 21, so that's 21 years ago.
Amen. Amen. Well, Stacy, your call has been very, very helpful for a lot of people, I'm sure. And we did our Whom or What Are You Praying For show yesterday, and Debbie is trying to look for the name. We had one caller, a gentleman who he and his wife had been married only a year, and they wanted prayers that they could conceive. And I hope that perhaps that gentleman is listening to today's broadcast, because this could be a real moment of hope for them. So thanks, Stacy, for the call.
Yeah,
blessings to
one
you.
More thing that's
oh, go ahead.
Really
sure.
Important. Really important is I thought, I can only speak for myself, that I knew how to love. But then when you get into deep sufferings, and a lot of times it has nothing to do with physical, emotional sufferings, especially when you do with your older children, God is calling you to a may call you to a very high level of suffering. And to just sit strong in the saddle and trust God like you did bringing those children into the world. Trust God in the saddle as you have to ride this journey of life, hopefully having all of them, all your family behind you in heaven. That's
beautiful.
Really important.
Beautiful. Stacy, we have to give credit to your husband. Does your husband have a first name?
Yeah, John.
John.
And he says he's a barge. He said he moves slowly. Failure's not an option, and he's just a barge. He keeps going.
Oh,
his words. I was thinking, what would John say? That's what he would say.
Right. Hmm. But do you know, Stacy, would you agree that with a big family, you got to have a sense of humor, right?
Oh, all we say, you talked about exhaustion, that we would joke, we have all eternity to rest, hopefully in a cool place, you know, not the hot one.
Yeah,
but yeah,
right.
So you just joke. What are you going to do? Change
your
perspective?
Yeah.
Move on.
You are too sweet. Thank you so much for the words of wisdom, Stacy. And Stacy, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Thank you to you, too. God bless everybody. Rejoice in hope.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Stacy in South Carolina.
Stacy.
Go ahead.
And yeah. Jerry, that you were referring to Daniel from yesterday,
Daniel,
from
that's
Atlanta,
right. Yeah, that's
Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Okay, we're talking today about what you wish you had known before you had kids. It could be good, could be the challenging things. 833-288-3986. Ken, thanks for calling in Long Island, New York, listening on Sirius XM 130. You are next. Hello, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you? Appreciate the opportunity to call you today.
Sure.
This is kind of out of left field, but as we have six children, but our 24-year-old daughter passed away, and you know, I just wanted, you know, I wanted to say that there was so much regret and things that maybe we wanted to say to her and make her feel, and you know, so. I guess what I wish I had known was that she was going to pass, you know, at 24, and she still lived with us and everything, and that I miss her so much, and, you know, just wanted to tell her so much more how wonderful she was.
Mm. Well, Ken, we just want to say we are so incredibly sorry, because no parent should ever have to bury their child. And we can hear that, you know, those things that you said that you would have liked to have said to her, and some like regrets and stuff like that. But Ken, we really believe, that the Holy Spirit is with us during each and every broadcast. Jerry and I have felt things, seen things. We have heard the feedback from our listeners. We really believe the Holy Spirit is present. And Ken, you can say it now. So let's, maybe if you feel comfortable, maybe can we have her first name so I can enter your whole family in the book, and say it now, what you wanted to say to your daughter, or some of the things, just not everything personal, but just something, just so that we can celebrate you and your daughter's life and your family, because God stands outside of time and everything. And you know what? We believe that the good Lord hears, that he hears our what's in our deep in our hearts, especially as parents. And the Blessed Mother surely does, because she's the mother. And so, Ken, if you want to share anything, we're here to listen.
Well, this is going to be difficult. Just how much we love you, and you know, I wanted to include my wife, Cindy, in this, and that. We were ever so proud of you, and I just kind of wanted to apologize for any time that I was overly critical. You know, you've always been such a wonderful daughter, and, you know, just that we love you so much.
That is beautiful, Ken. And I don't think anything else, you could say anything else that would be more poignant or touching, and so we appreciate that. We're so sorry for your loss. Thanks be to God, you've got the other children. Hope that they're doing well, and our prayers will be with you, Ken, and with Cindy, your wife. As Debbie said, it's a horrific thing, and really the one who can relate most, I presume, is our Blessed Mother. You know, she got the word, you know, that a sword would pierce her heart at the time Jesus was just barely born, you know, so she can relate to that. So please stay really close to our Blessed Mother. I'm sure you've been doing that.
Well, yes, that, and Elizabeth Seton also lost two children. She was the first American saint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's considered the saint of lost children.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Right. But Ken, we pray that you and Cindy and the rest of the family, you eventually get to peace, you know, a place of peace with this. And then the joy comes back in, right? Because your daughter is alive now more than ever. I know you probably, you know, that doesn't bring you much comfort, because as a parent, it feels like you're dying inside when your child passes. And I've heard the stories. I've never had to experience it, but I worked in ministry for years, and I can't even imagine the pain that you and Cindy have gone through and continue to. But I just, our prayer for you, as, because we're sisters and brothers in Christ, we pray that you and Cindy and the rest of the family, you guys get to a place of peace and then a place of joy again, because that's what your daughter would want, Ken.
Well, thank you for that. Name.
You're very welcome, Ken. Lots of prayers go with you. Thanks for calling the program. We appreciate that. What do you wish you had known before you had kids? We got Lillian, Lida, Kimberly, Julia. Guys, you can call in too, 833-288-3986. are practically on the eve of Mother's Day. This is our last broadcast, live broadcast before then, so we want to wish you all of the mothers and grandmothers a very blessed and happy Mother's Day. And in anticipation of that, we're talking today about what you wish you had known before having kids. Our number is 833-288-3986. And Debbie, you decide where we're going to go next. Go ahead.
Can I just share something real quickly? Ken, if you're still listening in Long Island, if you feel comfortable, we didn't catch your daughter's first name. If you would just call back if you want to so I can enter her first name in the book. But I put Ken and Cindy's whole family in. But if you do, just call back and Rich will get your precious daughter's name. Okay? If you feel comfortable. But I want to just share something. We were talking about prayer on the break. I just want to thank the Take-Two family. So many of you private messaged me on Facebook and said you were praying for our dear friend Christine. She came through the surgery. It was amazing. She actually posted about it on Facebook and said she could feel the prayers. She could feel the prayers in the operating room, and they were amazed at how well she did and how she's already up and around and moving around. She can't speak. She cannot speak for about a month because they worked on fixing her voice and everything. But she did great. And I believe, Jerry, you wanted to share another praise God for your pastor.
Oh, yeah, I mentioned yesterday my pastor, Father Paul, he had a brain tumor removed, and they were monitoring that, and his MRIs have been good up until recently, and he's been having some symptoms like dizziness and, you know, loss of equilibrium and so forth. So he had an MRI, and he talked to his surgeon yesterday, as I mentioned on the show, and the surgeon said, all looks good, everything looks good, the tumor is not growing, what little they had to leave in there. And so, they're just going to try to figure out what the symptoms are. But thank everybody for praying for that, because it's a huge deal when your pastor's going through something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Praise be to God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Lillian is up next in Florida, listening on Alexa and waiting so patiently. Hi, Lillian. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. How are you? Happy early Mother's
Very good.
Day.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Same to you.
Thank you.
Right. Go right ahead.
Do I just begin talking? Or?
Sure, yeah. Tell us what you'd like to share.
Okay, I know this is going to sound pretty basic, but I was raised with a very loving parents and five siblings that I love very dearly, aunts and uncles. I've had the whole love support as a family unit. And I thought definitely as a teenager and a young woman, I definitely knew what love was. But I never have experienced the depth of love that you as a parent has for a child. And it just, it's almost, I hate to say that, they can do anything and you still love them. I mean, you might not like the sins that they're committing and they're going down the wrong path and you're on your knees. I tell you, they've made me get two new knees by the time I was done raising them. But it's the love is just so deep. I can't hardly explain it. It's consuming. And I'm not saying the love for a spouse is less. It's just different. Mm-hmm. It's just so different.
I completely agree. I completely agree. There, as you were speaking, I put myself back there when my firstborn. I remember the first time I literally sat on the edge of I sat on the ground next to the crib and I just watched him sleep, and I just burst into tears. My heart was pounding so fast, and I felt like it was just going to explode. I thought, wow, this little kid is so cute. And he's so sweet, and he depends completely on me, you know, and I was like, wow, this is a miracle. I kept staring at him. I was like a little kid looking at a shiny object in a window of a store. I couldn't stop looking at him. And then when I would hold him, I couldn't stop squeezing him and kissing him. I mean, it was overwhelming. My heart didn't know what to do with it. And sounds like that's what you were trying to describe, but no words can really describe it, right, Lillian?
No, I'm 72, and I still feel the same way. That awe from the shiny object has never gone away. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm as proud of them today as I was as a beaming young mom. You know, so It's like I'm saying, it's a beautiful, beautiful experience, and it's a blessing to have a child. It is a true blessing. And I did have two others, and I did lose them, and a little girl and a little boy. But my mother used to always tell me, Lily, we're all on loan. They're on loan. They were never yours. It's your responsibility is to get them to heaven. So I again believe that I have two angels in heaven, and I used to stick one on one child and one on the other. I said, I need your help. Go with your brother. Go with your, you know, I they're both Sean and Jamie I lost. But I would pray God would allow them. I know they have the guardian angels, and I prayed to Blessed Mother, but I truly believe he allowed my two little angels in heaven to be an extra cushion around their life, you know, so, and it brought me, you know, and I still, you know, I know I'm not morbid, but I talk to them like I talk to God. I might not be praying the rosary or the 15 prayers of St. Bridget, but I'm constantly talking, you know, so people might think I'm crazy, but I'm, you know, I'm dusting and stuff. Oh, God, I got this problem. You know, going, God, they're going down the wrong path. Can't, you know, please. And one time I really got upset with God, and there was a time that I went outside and I said, you promised that none of your prayers would go unanswered or come back void or I forget exactly what I'm saying that's in the Bible that he promised. And I stomped my foot, thinking that my God, there's nothing, nowhere else I can turn but him. So he has to help me, you know. And he did. Everything worked out. But at one time, I didn't see even a twinkle of light at the end of the tunnel. But amazingly, I have two good sons, and we're actually in the move from one place to another to be closer to them and kind of be in the middle, because as we're aging and everything, they have been so good, so amazingly good to his father and myself. So that the blessings are coming back double-fold.
What I love most, Lillian, about what you shared is you talked about you don't always appreciate the decisions they make or maybe sins that they might commit, but it doesn't affect or impact your love one little bit. And that just reminds me of God's love for us. Sometimes we have trouble understanding and accepting that God loves us unconditionally. He doesn't want us to sin. We can't be presumptuous about our sins. But when we do, God's love doesn't change. He loves us immensely, unspeakably, you know, and so I just love that about what you said. And I remember one of my professors in college saying, you know, when God gives parents a child, it's like you're raising God's little images. You know, we're all made in the image and likeness of God. And it really struck me. He says, you're blessed with God's little images. And you mentioned they're on loan from God. And so the responsibility is to get them to a point where they're self-sufficient and they can, you know, become adults and have that relationship with God themselves, hopefully. So beautiful phone call, Lillian.
I appreciate you listening.
You bet. Anytime. Thank you so much.
Call us again, Lillian, okay?
It's the first time I've called any radio station in my life.
Wow.
Show just kind of really touched my heart this morning.
That means the world to us. Would
yes.
You? That is so wonderful. You made our day, Lillian, and I know the team is beaming as well. I love that. Will you call us again then?
Certainly will.
Okay. Thank you. Oh,
Happy
God
Mother's
bless
Day.
You. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah. That was a beautiful call. Can
yes.
I just go back real quickly? We're getting text messages coming in pretty quickly. Real fast. I mean, they're just coming in real fast for Ken and Cindy in Long Island. Ken, the Take Two family, this is the heart of the Take Two family. They are praying that the good Lord allows your precious daughter to hear what you said, how beautifully you said it, and the love you have in your heart. And the Take Two family is praying that the good Lord lets your daughter hear all that. And I just think that's beautiful. So this is what we do together as the mystical body of Christ. And Ken, the listening audience definitely could hear the love you have in your heart for your daughter. So I wanted to share that if Ken's still listening.
Very good. We have a line open talking about what you wish you had known before having kids, 833-288-3986. Kimberly, hang on in Texas. You're right after Lida in Birmingham, Alabama, listening on the EWTN app. Hello, Lida. Welcome.
Hey there. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you so much for your ministry.
Oh, thank you.
It really is a ministry to all the listeners, and I don't think I can add much. I love Stacy's call. That was a real blessing to hear what she had to say. And I wish I had known before I had children what a mirror of our own lives and our own souls our children are. Sometimes I look at my children when I see them angry or impatient, and I say, I'm so sorry, you get that from me. You know, there really are just a mirror of kind of our struggles and our sin, and it's such a sanctifying experience like that. And it, and on the flip side, you see, you know, I see any virtue, I say, oh, you get that from your daddy. He's very patient.
Right. Oh, I so agree. I have to tell you, that is hysterical what you're saying, because it's so true. We talk about on the show, like, I'm somewhat of a germaphobe, okay, Lida? And I have to tell you, my second son, well, he came home from kindergarten, and the teachers gave out that, you know, the which everybody uses now, that Purell, you know, sanitizer, you know, in the little backpack version. And he came home, and he was washing his hands using that antibacterial every 5 seconds. And he said, look, now my hands are all clean. And I turned to him, and I said, oh, please don't do that. You don't want to end up like me. I said, please don't do that. Go rub your hands in dirt or something. Don't do that, honey. That's
exactly. It's just, and kind of to what the last caller said, and what Jerry was pointing out, I mean, it is, we are responsible, you know, for, forming and tending these souls. And it's, it can be overwhelming at times. And, but sometimes you do get a bit of humor when you see your own struggles, and you just have to point it out, you know, I'm so sorry, you get that from me. Yeah. We'll work on it together.
Right. It's so true. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of so many instances. It's hilarious. They are like little mirrors. It's hysterical. Jerry, you would have been a really good dad. I have to tell you, you would have been a good dad.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You probably would have had him out playing sports, though, and, you know, climbing trees, doing all the fun stuff that I used to do.
Well, thank you, Debbie, for that. And I agree with what you're saying, Lida. I'm very much like both of my parents in certain ways. And so I can definitely see them and some good things and some not so good things, you know. But I know that the Bible talks about that. I'm not sure exactly the passage, but I think it's in several places. It talks about the sins of the father. And, of course, it could be the sins of the father and mother, you know, are passed down to the third and fourth generation. So, you know, but no parent is perfect. Lida, it sounds like you did a great job. And you're, like you said, you want to work on these things together with your kids, and this could be just a good reminder for anybody with young kids or intending to have kids that, take into serious consideration everything you say, everything you do. They are, like you said, Debbie, a mirror. They're like a sponge. They're soaking it all in, and they're going to have many of your traits and foibles and sins and stuff like that, but also the good things. So just keep that in mind for any parents out there.
Definitely a sanctifying experience. I mean, it really drives you to holiness, you know, really to be that for your children.
Right. You're so right, Lida. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is so true. I'm thinking of all the things. You know what else is really cool, too? I used to love when the kids would have my same eating habits. Like, my older son loved eggplant parmesan. My younger son would just, I mean, he would do anything. He'd rather just starve than eat eggplant parmesan. So I would always say, oh, look, you know, I'd make extra eggplant just for me and my older son. It was hilarious, right, Lida?
Yes. Fun to see those traits. But I love your show. I've never called in the radio show either, and I listen a lot. So like Lillian, I'm a first-time caller to a radio show, but I really love the topic today, and I appreciate your ministry a lot.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you, and blessed Mother's Day in anticipation to you, Lida, as well, in Birmingham. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it so much, your kind words.
Yes, have a great, great Mother's Day, Lida. Call again, a fun conversation, or just call anyway. I'd love to talk to you about kids. I'm thinking of all these things. I'm having all these flashbacks. It's hilarious. Okay, we have social media coming in as well, and I just have to mention this real quickly, Jerry. The Catholic Cafe, it's Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The Apostle John tells us that whoever does not love does not know God. Understanding what love is and what love is not is key to living the Christian life. So that's the Catholic Cafe, Sunday morning, 10:30 Eastern Time. So you'll be listening to it on Mother's Day about love.
Okay,
I think that's
good.
Perfect.
Still time for you to join us, 833-288-3986. As promised, Kimberly, you get our Patience Award today for waiting so long in Abilene, Texas, on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Kimberly. Good to have you with us.
Hi, good morning. Glad to be with you guys. I'm
great.
So grateful for your show every day.
Oh, thanks.
Mine is, I wish I had known how much God loved me, because I grew up Catholic, but, you know, as a youngin', once I left home, I left the church, and before I even knew I was pregnant, I just felt this need to go back to church, and my husband thought I was crazy, and I start going to church, finding out, I went to church when I got pregnant, and I didn't know it until I got the results back and knew I was pregnant. So this little baby also brought me back into the church. And not only did I find out how much love was from this child, but how much love is from God. And it was the best ever.
Wow. Well, God is love, right? And then you got this little bundle of joy that's just pure love, and it's totally, completely identifying with you and your heart. I mean, it's just a beautiful, there's something so beautiful about when a child comes into this world. There's just a sense of, I can't explain it. The word, help me out with this, Kimberly. It's like, it's almost like heaven and earth touch. It's just this, it's the most incredible experience. What? I'm sorry?
It's euphoric.
Yes. Good word. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
Everything was amazing. As soon as I held my son for the first time, I was like, I want to do this again. And I've just always been that way. I have a grandson now, and you know, every day I get closer to God, especially through programs like yours and EWTN, and it has been such a blessing, and I'm so grateful that I not only got the love for being a mom, but I got the love of being a daughter as well.
Wow. What a gift, Kimberly. That is,
yes.
You know, and yeah, you were talking, Debbie, about heaven and earth kind of touching, you know, when the child is conceived. And it's really true. We can cooperate with God in the work of creation. We are co-creators with him when husband and wife come together and conceive a child. You know, God is very, very pleased to infuse the soul into that little embryo, that little, you know, that's the child that's been conceived
person.
At that time. Yeah, person.
It's a person. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. A person. Yeah.
It's beautiful. I mean, from conception and then when the child, you know, is born and takes their first breath. You guys will get a kick out of this. Okay, so I have to share this because it's Friday real quick. So you'll get a kick out of this. Kimberly, I know you'll get a chuckle out of this. Okay, so when I gave birth to my first child in 1989, it was the year that all those TV shows came out about babies switched in the hospital. Okay, it was the year that all those shows came out. So I was petrified. You know, like I said to the hospital, I said right away, how do I know that you're not going to switch my kid? And they say, oh, we put a band on you and we put a band on the baby. I said, that's not good enough. Bands can fall off. I said, how do you know? So before my oldest was born, I prayed. I said, God, please give him, I don't want a permanent sign on his body so that it's not something that, you know, I have to worry about later, but give him a sign that I know it's my kid. So there's no way they can switch him in the hospital. And wouldn't you know it, my son came out with a big black eye, just like Rocky, like the football player, a big black eye. And so the nurse, when she handed him to me, she goes, now you'll definitely be able to tell it's your kid. It's true. It's true. But I didn't want it to be permanent because I pray. I said, "Don't. I don't want to make it permanent, God, but I just need a distinguishing sign that's I'm going to know it's my child." Isn't that terrible? So the poor kid came out with a black eye.
Well, I thought you were going to say you would know it was your child because you ordered eggplant Parmesan.
Eggplant Parmesan, yeah. True. Kimberly, I tell you, we could tell, you know what's great? We could do a show, and actually you inspired this, Kimberly. I think we should do more shows on this whole journey of life. What do you think, Kimberly?
I think that's an awesome idea.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it for summer, like a summer series or something. That would be fun. You are so awesome. Happy Mother's Day to you. I hope you're going to have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Happy Mother's Day to you, too.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What a great call.
Yeah. It was beautiful. Yeah. Lots of great calls, Diddy. You said you're getting some text messages, too.
Oh, I am. I'm getting a ton of text messages. Everybody is agreeing with the idea that you wish you had known how much love you can give and how much love you can feel, because everybody's in full agreement that you can't really put a word around it or describe it. It's overwhelming in a great sense. It's just so, it's bursting. That's how I always describe it. And so we're getting texts on that. And then there are some of our listeners that, today is a hard day for them because they are still in the journey of wanting to have children. They're finding some difficulties, and some were unable to have kids, and they're feeling this is a beautiful show, but it's very heavy on their hearts. And so we should be praying for everyone, because those of us who have had children, we feel very, very fortunate, but there's a lot that have struggled and a lot that are really sad about it. And so we share with you that sadness and that sorrow. And just, here's the thing though, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have a beautiful spiritual mother in our Blessed Mother, and we share in the mystical body of Christ. We share in the wonderful celebrations, and we also share in the sadness. That's what the body of Christ does, right, Jerry?
Absolutely. Yeah, before we went on the air, I was sharing, the two mothers that I've had in my life, my own mother and my sister, who is a mother, are both gone to heaven now, God willing. And so our producer, Michael, had a great suggestion. He says, "Are there any religious sisters around where you are?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely." And he says, "Well, maybe do something special for them on Mother's Day." And of course, we all have, like you mentioned, our Blessed Mother, the spiritual Mother Mary. So we all have a mother always with us.
And look at this. Three men are calling in right now, and we ran out of time. We had three men all coming in. What do you want to do? Can we get one more or no?
Well, we got about 2 minutes. We can go to Steve. Yeah, in Fremont, Ohio. Steve, we do have 2 minutes. You're listening on Annunciation Radio, but you took the time to call, so we wanted to get you on the air. Hi, Steve.
Oh, hi. Hi, thank you very much for taking
the
call. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I want to talk about the population growth in the United States. We have an aging population because we didn't have enough children and we had too many abortions. So when I was a student at the University of Toledo, I learned from the Newman's Club that in order to have zero population growth, you need 3 live births per fertile couple in order to make up for the couples that are not fertile. And we had a little bit below that rate. Because of the abortion rate, our birth rate was a little bit below 3. So it's important to have more children. Some people have 5, 6, or I had 5 myself. We're very happy, and a lot of people have. Some people have more, but you need an average of 3 live births per fertile couple in order to have zero population growth, where the birth rate equals the death rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Steve. Real quick, we got about 30 seconds.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's the reason to have more children, and we need more to bring that average up, where the abortion rate is part of the problem. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it really is. It really is. There's a lot of reasons for what you're talking about, and many nations are actually paying couples to have kids because they're realizing the economic implosion that is causing in their countries, and just so many other things. We wish things were still maybe the way they were a couple generations ago when, people were having lots of kids and kids were able to take care of their parents. There's just a lot of dynamics going to what Steve is talking about, Debbie. I'm just glad we got to him on the air. And thank you, Steve, for the call. We're about to hear the closing music, but we want to mention Peter in Greenville, South Carolina. We won't get to him, but he's asking for prayers for his daughter.
For his daughter, yes, absolutely.
First Mother's Day
for his daughter. Absolutely, Peter. And if you want to share us any of the, if you want to share with us any of the details of your family story, please email us at take2@ewtn.com. And Ken did call back and shared his daughter's name. It's Gabrielle, because the whole entire Take Two family is praying for beautiful Gabrielle. I love the name. Love the name. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in addition to Peter's call, Peter, I wish we could have gotten to you. He said his daughter chose life after getting pregnant in college. What a great, great gift that is for their entire family. And they were just asking for prayer for her daughter's first Mother's Day. Be assured of that, Peter. We can definitely promise you our prayers and those of the Take Two family around the world. Wow, that wraps up a week, Debbie. What do we have on Monday?
On Monday, it's in the news, in the news. But again, we all want to wish you a happy Mother's Day this weekend. Have a nice, relaxing, fun time this weekend. And then we hit the ground running on Monday with our In the News show, Jerry.
All right, until we talk to you at the first of next week, have a beautiful and blessed weekend, especially to all moms. And during this year of St. Joseph, we ask for his prayers. St. Joseph, please pray for us. Amen.